Coming up on Sunrise Sports.
We shot ourselves in the foot when we were losing yards on first down, so we just got to overcome on little things like that, and I think we'll be a pretty good offense.
The SIU football team hosted their annual spring game last night. We recap the event and tell you what to look forward to in the fall season ahead.
Well, this felt like a couple of our games in November from last year with a little breezy out and the temperatures a little cooler, but that's football weather.
Weather was a huge factor for the spring game. We covered the game from all angles. All that and much, much more on Sunrise Sports. Right out!
Good morning and thank you for tuning in to yet another edition of Sunrise Sports, the show that hits a round tripper every time at the plate. It's the second week in our top five series, and this week it's all about the sophomores. We'll tell you who the best are later on in the show. I'm Logan Lee.
And I'm Michael Roberts. A lot of different Saluki sports are in action this weekend. We'll be sure to get to all of them later in our campus tour. Logan starts today's show with a recap of the football spring game.
It definitely felt more like football season last night at the annual SIU football spring game. After a week full of temperatures reaching the near 80s, Southern took the field at Saluki Stadium to temperatures in the 50s.
Well, this felt like a couple of our games in November from last year with a little breezy out and the temperatures a little cooler, but that's football weather.
That's the voice of head football coach Dale Lennon. He saw his offense and defense take the field last night, and after some ups and downs for both sides, it was clear to him who the better side was.
I'm not going to give too many high grades. I give a higher grade to the defense. I figured they probably graded out in that B range. And offensively, I think we're probably in that C range. So definitely room for improvement.
Four different quarterbacks took snaps under center for the offense. Among them was last year's emerging leader, Corey Faulkner. Faulkner said that there were a few things he should have done differently to provide a little more for the offense.
I think there's a lot of things I wish I could have had back. There's a couple of throws that I could have lowered and maybe put us in a better situation. I just think on first down, especially in a couple drives, we shot ourselves in the foot when we were losing yards on first down. So we just got to overcome on little things like that, and I think we'll be a pretty good offense.
The junior from St. Genevieve High School in Missouri looked the most impressive of the four QBs. He completed 9 of his 17 passes for 170 yards and a touchdown.
I mean, it was good overall. I know coaches were pretty happy with how we, there was goods and bads on both sides of the ball, so things that we can work on.
A.J. Hill and Matt Lippum each threw for a touchdown. Lippum also threw a pair of picks. One of the main attractions for Saluki fans was the first real glimpse of running back Mikael McCall, a transfer from the University of Iowa. McCall rushed the ball 9 times on the night for 44 yards. That included a long 23-yard run and him running over about 5 defenders in the process.
Yeah, I was just looking to score, unfortunately I didn't, but, that's all I was thinking about, touchdowns. But as long as I got the first down, and put my team in a good field position, that was good for me.
He becomes a second Hawkeye transfer in the backfield for Saluki football. Joel Hampton also came from Iowa before having a solid year at Southern before entering this month's NFL draft.
I'm looking into going to NFL like Joel, try to be like him. I kind of see him as like one of my role models. I watch a few Brandon Jacobs highlights and everything. So, yeah, I look at the other older guys as role models too.
On the ground, Antonio Banks and Ray Agnew were the only two Saluki backs to find the end zone. LaStephen McKinney was the primary receiver used by quarterbacks. He caught 7 passes for 117 yards, including one catch for 62 yards. Adam Feeney, Michael Pruitt, and John Lance each caught touchdowns for the offense. 4 different receivers broke off catches for over 35 yards. On the defensive side of the ball, David Boatwright caught 2 interceptions. His brother Kenneth Boatwright and Kaniko Thomas each had a pick off as well. The Salukis will round out the spring season in the coming days. They kick off the regular season on Thursday, August 30th, at Eastern Illinois University. We go now to Michael Roberts for a look at all things John A. Logan College sports.
It's that time once again where we shift gears and move the attention to all things involving John A. Logan College athletics. We call it the Volunteer Minute, and here we go. Pitcher Derek Thompson is this week's John A. Logan College Featured Athlete of the Week. Both top-seeded pitcher John Serber put the clamps on Southwestern Illinois College during a doubleheader on Sunday. Thompson was his usual brilliant self in the opener, striking out 7 while walking only 2 during 7 innings on the mound for the Vols. Thompson received much-needed run support. Anthony Baez singled, advanced to second on a groundout, and then scored on a run off a Josh Mead hit. Then Steve Ball came in and moved Mead to third before coming home off of the bat of Derek Repkin. Baez led the Vols with 3 hits. Zach Mischler followed up with 2 of his own. Keelan Rash, Josh Mead, and Steve Ball all had 1 hit in Game 1. In Game 2, the Volunteers trailed 1-0 going into the top of the 5th against SWCC pitcher Derek Emily. Sophomore catcher Phil Papillo dropped a sacrifice fly to tie the game in the 5th. In the 6th inning, the Vols took the lead. After another run came in, the Logan pitchers were able to seal the sweep for the Volunteers. The following Tuesday, the Vols were swept by Dyersburg State. The Volunteers are still ranked 16th nationally. Bringing you this Volunteer Minute, I'm Michael Roberts for Sunrise Sports.
Coming up here on Sunrise Sports a little later on in the show, we're going to talk about Saluki men's basketball. Rob Jesselson and Curtis Sheehan will talk about the players leaving, players that are may or may not be coming, also some coaching changes within the Barry Hinson era with Saluki men's basketball. We're going to talk about our campus tour segment. A lot of Saluki sports are in action this weekend. The track and field team is at the Auburn War Eagle Invitational, one of their biggest invitational meets of the entire season. Both the tennis teams are in action, the softball team's in action, and the baseball team is in action, though they actually did not play last night. We'll touch on that a little later on. Plus, it's our top 5 sophomores for the 2011-2012 athletic season here at SIU. All that is coming up here on Sunrise Sports on WSIU Radio, your NPR station.
This is women's basketball coach Missy Tiber. You're listening to Sunrise Sports on WSIU Radio.
There's plenty to talk about this weekend in Saluki sports. Michael Roberts and myself will take you through all of them right now with our extensive campus tour. Barry Hinson named another member to its coaching staff yesterday. Tom Hankins joins the team as Hinson's associate head coach for the upcoming season. Hankins spent the last 15 seasons as an assistant at Oral Roberts, where he was originally hired by Hinson in 1997, while serving under him for 2 seasons before Hinson left for Missouri State. During his time at Oral Roberts, the Golden Eagles won 5 Summit League regular season titles, made 3 NCAA tournaments, and had 2 NIT appearances. Hankins will serve as the head recruiter for the program as well as being the top assistant. It's the second member of Hinson's staff to have been brought on. Terrence McGee was announced Thursday to join the staff. McGee was an assistant at Grand Valley State after his playing career ended at Missouri State.
SIU baseball was scheduled to kick off their series with Creighton yesterday, but Mother Nature had other plans. The Salukis and the Blue Jays will renew their longstanding rivalry in a doubleheader that begins at noon today. The Salukis are in the middle of the conference standings with a 5-4 conference record. The Jays, on the other hand, are at the very bottom of the standings. They'll play Game 1 today at noon with Game 2 to follow. Game 3 is still slated for 1 o'clock tomorrow.
The SIU softball team has won 6 of their last 7 games as they head into this weekend's series with Drake. The Lady Salukis are coming off a 10-2 victory over Eastern Illinois on Thursday. Right now, SIU sits in 2nd place in the Valley standings, trailing 1st place Northern Iowa by 3 games. The Bulldogs are 10-7 in the conference and sit right in the middle of the standings. They'll start a doubleheader from Drake today beginning at noon. Game 3 will be Sunday at the same time.
Saluki junior swimmer Justin Wolf qualified for the Olympic trials yesterday in the 100-meter butterfly. Wolf is one of 3 Salukis in Nashville competing for a spot in the Olympic qualifiers this weekend. He will swim again at the official Olympic qualifying rounds in Omaha on June 25th.
The Southern Illinois track and field team opened competition Friday at the War Eagle Invitational taking place on the campus of Auburn University in Alabama. The day started with the men's and women's discus. Freshman Curtis Weedman was the top Saluki finisher, placing 5th overall with a toss of 162.07. Brad Foote, Bradley Sauer, and Brian Cooper placed 6th, 7th, and 8th respectively in that event. Geneva McCall took the title in the women's discus throw with a winning throw of 182.01. Freshman Ashley Gaston placed 3rd, and Raquel Roach placed 4th. The competition wrapped up with the women's hammer throw, where Geneva McCall broke her own facility record that she set back in the 2011 War Eagle Invitational. She recorded a throw of 218.07 to win that event. Competition in the Invitational continues this morning at 11 o'clock.
Men's tennis hosts a pair of matches this weekend at the University Courts. Bradley comes into town today to face the Salukis, with Illinois State coming in tomorrow. The men's team is 7-12 on the season and 1-2 in conference play. They'll start today at 1 o'clock with Bradley, and then 11 tomorrow with the Redbirds.
The women's tennis team is on the road making the Illinois road trip. They play at Bradley today and then travel to ISU tomorrow. The Lady Dogs are 15-4 on the year and 4-1 in the Valley.
And finally, SIU women's golf kicks off play at the MVC Championships tomorrow in Terre Haute. The Lady Salukis were picked to finish third in the conference by the coaches. They finished second at the Creighton Classic last week. Last season, SIU finished sixth in the tournament. They'll get underway tomorrow at 7:30. There you have it. That was our campus tour for the weekend of April 20th through the 22nd.
It's week number two of our top five series for the 2011-2012 school year. That means it's time for our top five Saluki sophomores.
Five.
The number five Saluki sophomore for the year is cross-country runner Zach Dahleen. After a slow start to the season, the Orland Park native picked up his times and finished the season as a top runner for SIU. Dahleen placed 23rd as an individual at the Louisville Classic, a race consisting of 29 different teams, the biggest race they ran in all season. A few weeks later, Dahleen set the pace for the Salukis at the MVC Championships, placing 3rd as an individual and helping his squad capture 2nd place in the conference.
Four.
Number four is a defensive powerhouse on the basketball court for Missy Tiber's Lady Salukis. CC Shannon burst onto the scene as a freshman and broke numerous records with her shot blocking ability. Shannon, a Hazel Crest, Illinois native, lost her starting spot with the emergence of freshman Alexis Patterson, but her defensive ability never disappeared. She still finished the season with 67 blocks, which was short of the school record she set last year, but is second best in school history. And only as a sophomore, Shannon shattered the career block mark left by Kathy Kempworth. She finished her second season already with nearly 40 blocks more than Kempworth had. She averaged over a block and a half per game to go along with more than 4 rebounds per outing.
Three.
For the next two sophomores, we head out to Charlotte West Stadium to catch up with the Saluki softball team. Taylor Orsburn was a part of the two-headed freshman monster that dominated the infield for Saluki softball last season, and she has shown no signs of a sophomore slump. Orsburn has made herself a staple in the middle of the order and at first base for Coach Carrie Blaylock. The Cobden High School graduate doesn't lead the team in any offensive categories, but her presence is shown in all of them. The highlight of the season thus far for Orsburn came back in March when the Salukis hosted Creighton. She went 7-for-7 in the doubleheader on Saturday and belted 2 home runs to pick up the wins in both games.
Two.
We stay with softball, move to a player who seldom saw action as a freshman behind a senior standout. But in her second season, Allie Vadbunker has become an offensive powerhouse. Getting a season to be an understudy for all-conference standout Christina Trapani proved to work wonders for Vadbunker. In her sophomore year, the Kankakee native is ripping the ball for Coach Blaylock. Right now, she's among the league's best in offensive categories, including the Valley's best in on-base percentage. She's also second in the conference in RBIs. The two of them, combined with sophomore Jana Spivey, make for a strong nucleus for softball ahead.
One.
And finally, our number one sophomore Saluki, we head to the pool to find Isabella Castro. The Brazilian native had some impressive finishes in her second season at the Shane Auditorium. Among them were a pair of first place finishes at a meet with the U of I. To cap off the season, Castro competed in 3 different events at the MVC Championships, coming away with a pair of second places in the 100 butterfly and the 200 backstroke. Her championships highlight, though, was taking first place in the 200 butterfly, marking the second straight year she won that race. Castro was part of the very strong youth of Coach Rick Walker's swimmers.
And there you have it, our top 5 Saluki sophomores for the 2011 and 2012 school year. We had a few athletes, though, that came close to making the list, but couldn't crack the top 5. Quarterback Corey Faulkner and cornerback Terrell Wilson from the Saluki football team, infielder Donnie Dushinsky from Saluki baseball, and Cassie Rushing of the women's golf team. Be sure to tune in next week when we release the top five juniors from the year, and then on May 5th, we will have the top seniors. Two episodes of Sunrise Sports you will surely not want to miss. There's still more to come on this edition of Sunrise Sports. Stay right here. You're listening to WSIU Radio, your NPR station.
Hi, this is Steve Finley, former Saluki, former Major League Baseball player, five-time Gold Glove winner, two-time All-Star, World Series champion 01, and you're listening to Sunrise Sports on WSIU Radio.
Welcome back to Sunrise Sports. So SIU basketball has been in the news lately. Four players have requested their release from the program. Bobo Drummond and Travis Wilkins, the two guys who signed their letters of intent in November, are leaving the program. And Treg Seti and Dantil Daniels, the two freshmen from this year's class, they are trying to leave, but Mario Mocha has blocked them, saying that they need to fulfill their obligation to the university before they can leave. Essentially, that means they have to finish out the semester before they can leave. Treg Seti wants to leave. He is from Maysville, Kentucky. That's in the northern part of the state, close to Cincinnati. So he's about a six-hour drive away, and he wants to be closer to home. He has said on Twitter that he has some ailing family members. And Dantil, we really don't know what the story is with Dantil. He had a great, great season last year. He was NBC Freshman of the Year. We know he doesn't want to play at a community college. He's tweeted that. He doesn't want to play at a community college. He wants to go to a D1 school. He wants to transfer to another D1, even if he has to sit out. So, Rob, four guys trying to leave SIU. Not a great start for Barry Henson.
No, not at all, Curtis. I mean, you say four guys, but these are four huge guys who were supposed to be big parts to this program in the upcoming years. Two of them, freshmen, I mean, that's just huge, just because they're youthful, and both of them got a lot of playing time. Dantil Daniels was arguably the top freshman in the conference this past season, and him leaving just changes everything. I mean, when was the last time SIU has had a dominant center down low? I mean, it's been a while. They haven't had one in the last 4 years, I can tell you that. But I mean, Daniels, he was named to the all newcomer team for the MVC. He was, in my opinion, one of the best players on the team, if not the best, at least most consistent. You knew what you were going to get out of Dantil Daniels. He showed that pride game in and game out, and really showed Saluki fans what they used to see with this basketball team. He played hard. He gave it 110%. He was diving for loose balls on the floor, and fans liked that. And that's why he was a good player. And you look at Treg Seti. Treg Seti was another guy who gave it everything he had. And you know, he was the guy who has a lot of potential, but we're not going to see that here in Carbondale anymore because he has asked for his release. And then you look at the two recruits, Travis Wilkins, a guy who really not much was expected out of him. What he was supposed to be good at is shooting the basketball, especially from behind the three-point arc. So you lose a shooter, and then you look at Bobo Drummond. This guy was supposed to be the next best thing. He was supposed to come in here, you know, immediately take over the starting point guard role over Kendall Brown Searles. He was a highly touted prospect coming out of high school. And, I mean, that's gone. Everybody was looking forward to having Bobo. He was ranked high on the ESPN high school rankings. He was one of the top players on a very, very good prep school team. He, you know, when he was playing top competition in high school, and he was shutting down players that are going to big programs, and this was supposed to be a huge commitment to the Saluki program. Now that he's gone, that changes everything. You got to fill those four spots now, and so late in the year, you know, the team's going to start practicing pretty soon here, that you're going to have to just sign on JUCO players because you can't go to the high school ranks, because high school recruiting now starts when kids are in 5th and 6th grade. You can't just go up to and say, hey, here's a scholarship, come play for us. You got to go into the JUCO pool. You got to pick out guys who might not be ready for this level. It's going to be a thing to see. It's going to be interesting for Coach Barry Henson.
I would have to say that it's not just four players that he has to replace. It's a whole bunch. Okay, the two fan favorites, Justin Bocott and Mamadou Sek. They're not coming back. Still don't know the status of Kendall Brown Searles. Josh Swan, Courtney Goff, and TJ Lindsey all played point last year. Where does that leave Kendall? We know he had academic issues and had to sit out a couple games. And now you lose Bobo, so you lose that point guard. Kendall's kind of upset, so is he leaving too? I mean, he was quote-unquote cousin to Coach Lowry, so is he gone? So you're going to be stuck with so many new faces on next year's team. And again, the biggest thing about Coach Barry Hinson when he was hired was, oh my goodness, he worked at Kansas, and Kansas in the national championship. Yeah, that's great, but it also hurt because he couldn't recruit, like you said. And like Illinois State could recruit, Creighton could recruit, basically all the teams in the Valley could recruit because they didn't have a deep run, and they had a better season than us. So you're put into a hole where you get started late on recruiting, and you don't have anything to sell them. Everyone's leaving, so what are you going to sell? Like, stay here? No, because people are leaving. But Barry Hinson has brought in, and he has named two assistant coaches. Yesterday was his first announcement, was Terrence McGee, who has spent the last two seasons at Grand Valley State University. And today he announced, or excuse me, the other day he announced Tom Hankins, he announced that he will be his assistant coach. He comes in spending a whole bunch of time at Oral Roberts University. Rob, it's going to be an entirely new staff, not just with the players, but the staff included. What do you think about these two hires that Coach Hinson has made?
You know what? I think it's real early to determine if they were good hires. I mean, it's kind of in the same boat, you know? You don't have much time if you're Coach Barry Hinson to fill the players, and it's the same thing for coaches. You can't really be looking around the entire country going through bio, and taking a while to name your assistant coaches. I like the hire of Terrence McGee. He played under Coach Hinson when Hinson was the head coach at Missouri State. McGee, he was a first-team all-conference player there. First team. He was also named to the all-defensive team. I think he'll help out with recruiting. He spent the last 2 years at Grand Valley State, like you said. Was somewhat successful there as an assistant coach. I like Terrence McGee. He's a young guy. He'll have an easier time relating to some of the players. Should help recruiting. And then Tom Hankins, who spent the last 15 years at Oral Roberts as an assistant there as well. He just brings a lot of experience. You know, 15 years at Oral Roberts, that's a Division I school. They've had some success in the tournament. I mean, coming from a small conference, I think he was there for three NCAA tournament runs. So that's good. I mean, you're talking about hires. I like them. They're young. They're experienced. I think Hinson will mesh well with these two. And it should be I don't know. You're going to have a lot of new faces both on the court and on the bench, Curtis.
And actually, it's funny because I think that the honeymoon period for Coach Hinson is going to last pretty long. Like, I don't think it's just going to be like, okay, he stunk his first year. Let's get rid of this guy. I think he's coming into this school, and this school not only as a basketball school, but just school academically, administration-wise, has been in a slump over the last couple years. Funding, of course, everyone knows that. So I think the honeymoon period, if he wins 10 to 15 games, I think people would say, okay, that's a success. I would have to think that. Again, Coach Hinson has named two assistant coaches to his staff. More are to be announced, but you got to hope that he does it quickly because basketball season, I know, you know, it just ended, but a lot of the reason why so many teams are so good is because they put the work in the offseason, and right now the Salukis are behind. Well, we're going to continue the Sunrise Sports with our quote of the week.
Take out those dancing shoes because that swing music means it's time for our quote of the week. It's playoff time around the NHL, and with the postseason means a higher intensity level. And with that increase of intensity comes an increase in hitting. On Tuesday night in Game 3 of the series between the Phoenix Coyotes and Chicago Blackhawks, Coyotes enforcer Rafi Torres left his feet, led with his shoulder, and laid a bone-crushing hit on Blackhawks star Marian Hossa. Hossa laid on the ice for a while before being taken off on a stretcher. There was no penalty called on the hit, which put the Blackhawks and their fans in a frenzy. During the next timeout in a television interview, Hawks head coach Joel Quenneville expressed his feelings on the officiating.
Brutal hit. I saw the whole play, 100 miles an hour, no puck, hit the head. It was a brutal hit. I can't believe four guys missed it. Makes me sick.
Torres was suspended indefinitely by the league following the game. He did not play in last night's game. Rosa's timetable for return is still unknown. And that was our Quote of the Week.
It's time for us to dig a little deeper into the sports world, bring you something a little more strange and out of the ordinary. Something that may bring legendary sports broadcaster Mel Allen to say,
"How about that?"
If you ever thought your dream of playing professional sports looks to be over, you may want to check out what's going on in Miami. The Dolphins decided to go a different route than signing big contracts to unproven college stars. Their solution? An accountant. Les Brown, an accountant from West Palm Beach in Florida, is the newest tight end on the Miami Dolphins roster. Brown was a three-sport letter winner at his high school in Utah, and then he chose to continue his athletic career playing basketball at a small college in Salt Lake City. It was while he was there that he received an internship opportunity, which eventually led to him dropping out of school and accepting a full-time position at an equity firm. Later on, Brown was helping his brother, an offensive lineman from BYU, prepare for the upcoming NFL draft when he came across a trainer at BYU. A few months of training in Hawaii with other NFL hopefuls, he participated in BYU's Pro Day, received offers from a handful of teams, and ultimately signed a three-year contract with the Miami Dolphins. Wonder if I could do the same thing. Well, Mel, any thoughts?
How about that?
Well, that about does it here for us on Sunrise Sports. But as always, before we go, we have a few people we need to thank.
That's right, Rob. We need to thank Michael Roberts, Curtis Sheehan, Daniel Valle, Sam Vaughn, Brad Palmer, Jennifer Fuller, Jeff Williams, and the entire WSIU radio staff.
Right you are, Logan. This show would not be possible without any of them. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to send us an email at sunrisesports@wsiu.org. You can also check out our Facebook and Twitter pages. You can hear this edition and all of our other shows. Check out our new webpage at wsiunews.org. From there, scroll to programs and click on Sunrise Sports. Be sure to join us next week on Sunrise Sports, where we give you the top five juniors from the 2011-2012 school year. For my co-host, Logan Lee, I'm Rob Jesselson, saying enjoy your weekend
and enjoy the games.